forgiveness, adoption, and acceptance. That's what we were there for, to extend to those who wanted it. And what I come away with is there are a lot of people who don't have anybody to talk to, or they don't have the nerve or the opportunity to talk to. It's not a casual thing that they would do on a daily basis. Us being there on the street near Lexington Market avails these people an opportunity to share their hearts, tell where they're at, and ask for prayer, ask for somebody to help them out, ask for God's help, of course. So with that, I'm going to ask people, now this is only us. There were probably about, I'm going to say, 12 or 13 people who were ministering there, from, including us, from, like you said, Bob, like three or four other churches. And it was a very, very rich time. In fact, we didn't pack up at 1 o'clock. We just hung out because people are still being ministered to. We have testimonies to that that effect. And I'm just going to turn it over to start with Fred. Yeah, you're on the right.
Thanks, Fred. You know, I'm always amazed. You know, each time Saturday, the first Saturday comes up, my old man says, don't go. How many of you have an old man or woman? And, you know, it's like, well, I got this to do and that to do. And, you know, and the old man just saying, you know, maybe not this. Go next Saturday. But thank God there's a new man. So the new man won. And I went yesterday, and I'm so glad I did. As Fred just said, it was an amazing time. It's just I love the way we do it. I mean, you know, we're not accosting people. We're not hitting them on the head with the Bible. You know, we don't have any big signs that says turn or burn. You know, we're offering them the love of God. We're actually giving them free food, free drink, and people just they walk by and they're attracted to what we're doing. And so easy to begin to share with somebody after you give them a bagel. Who doesn't like a bagel, you know? And just one encounter I had, which was wonderful, was a guy named John, African-American guy, 25 years old. He's a student at West Virginia. And his mother lives in Baltimore, so he was down Lexington Market. And so we started talking to him after I gave him a bagel. And turns out that he's from a Christian background, but you know, he just didn't really know if he was really saved. And, you know, he struggles with going back and forth. And he just really didn't know his identity and who he was. So after sharing with him, I was with another guy, prayed for him. And then I felt like the Lord gave me a scripture for him where it says in Timothy, we've been saved and called with a holy calling. So I said to him, I said, well, now that you know you're saved because we prayed for him for salvation, do you know that you have a unique calling? And he looks at me, he goes, no, I haven't exactly thought of that. I said, well, what do you think your calling could be? And it opened up a whole conversation. Well, just to make a long story short, prayed with him again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. He was so excited, so on fire. We exchanged information. And it was just a blessing to be there to make a difference in somebody's life who I believe is going to make a difference in the world. This guy has got an anointing on him. And just to be a part of that, to partner with God, to bless him, knowing that he is going to be an amazing blessing to others, was an amazing privilege.
And before I pass the baton on to John here, there's one particular woman whose name is Kim. You'll see intermittently about three times, I believe, during the presentation here. And she's in a chair at first, and then you see her stand, and then you see her walk. Now, you're going to hear from Kim as we're sitting down, but I think Lynn might be able to share more about her.
Well, you two did a very good job of saying what I was going to say. Yeah, excellent job, yes. I love it down there. I love it down there, I tell you. The only thing that I have to say is I'm waiting to go again. And I'd like to invite all those people that were down in Chicago to join us on October the 3rd. That anointing you receive, come and join us.
Lexington Market Outreach is about saving the lost, feeding the poor, giving them something to drink and eat, bagels, water, coffee. And it's about saving souls and it's about healing bodies. But it's also about setting the captives free. Now, I met a woman, her name was, of all names, Mona Lisa. That was her name, a black woman, maybe 40 years old. She had two teenage children that were very rebellious. And God showed me something about her, that she had chains and handcuffs on her children and herself, and they were all chained together. So the Lord instructed me to say, loose! And man, something changed in the spirit. Man, she started crying. Something, she had a spiritual awakening yesterday, and I'm not sure what God's going to do, but I really want to see her come back, as some of them do, and I want to hear the testimony of what happened, because she was free. She got free yesterday. The captives are being set free.
I do. Well, this was my first time down there. And I was really impressed how the Holy Spirit was working, watching as things transpired. Lynn here next to me is like the Holy Ghost Columbo. She gets to the bottom of people's problems, short of murder, of course. And it was nice to work with her. We were working with one African-American woman, and I think it was a brother from another congregation, but this lady kept rocking back and forth. And in my former church, I sometimes acted as a catcher. I was afraid she was going to fall over, slain in the spirit, you know, from what she was hearing. And so finally Lynn and this brother finished praying for her, and she hadn't fallen over, but Lynn said, "Well, Tom, do you have anything to add?" And I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "I think we need to pray for fear." And this lady immediately, you know, got her attention. She said, "How did you know?" And I said, "Well, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit." And so we prayed for her, and she walked away tearfully, didn't she?
She started crying after you said that.
Yeah. And so it was really something. And if I'm allowed to offer something else a little different. Several weeks ago, Paul and Mike prayed for me for diabetes, and I got a letter just the other day from the doctor, and it doesn't look like that's what it is. So I'd like to thank the brothers for those prayers.
Hallelujah. I'm going to add to what you're going to something about Kim for after you see the video, but I first want to say, if you've never been to Lexington Market, we're actually outside in a better spot now. It's cleaner. It's closer to the bus stop that's being actively used. It's so much better. We have free parking. And the man you see in the pictures with the red or deep pink shirt and hat, that's Bobby. He's from an Assembly of God church. It's worth it to go just to get a hug from Bobby. He carries this such a spirit of joy that you can't help but be filled and overflowed just from encountering Bobby. After one of the things that happened, Kim will explain, I don't know if we're going to see the part where she says she used to see on TV people getting healed, and she would change the channel because she didn't believe it was real until it happened to her. And she was not only healed physically, she was healed emotionally and spiritually. Her life was transformed yesterday, and she stayed with us. And I said to her, because the Lord was telling me to share this, "You now have the gift of healing," and we prayed for that to be increased in her, and especially for healing people from pain through the Lord's mercy and grace. And she actually started doing that, praying for people, yesterday.
All right. Roll it.
Hi, my name is Kim Amy Anderson. I used to see this kind of stuff on TV. Thought it was phony. But when I came down here and I saw these people and they said the things they said to me, I figured I'd give them a try. I came down here with arthritis in my knee, arthritis in my back, and a heavy, heavy burden on my heart. That I thought that I had suffered heart disease. These people here, they touched me, they put their hands on me. I mean, they touched every part of my body. And, I mean, I couldn't even walk by myself.
Wow.
My chi is here. And when they finished with me, I had never been able to walk out that chair like that. I had to hold on to it and drag it when I was getting up. And I strutted my stuff when
all right.
I got over there.
All right, here we go. In Baltimore, here we go. At Lexington Market in Baltimore, September 3rd. Awesome.
Yes, that's another thing. I was like, I'm doing some change now. And I felt like I was feeling like this is much off the ground after these precious people touched me.
Awesome.
Heal me. And I had a bad feeling in my heart for somebody to do some dirt to me. Can I say his name?
You don't need to, but you can.
Larry Gaither. He did something cool to me and stressed me out and everything. I had this very hard thing. She asked me, in my heart, forgive him. And I was like, I know, I don't think I can. But after they finished with me, the pain in my heart left. And I feel much lighter. I don't have that nagging headache pain I had because of what I felt for him.
Yeah.
Now he can go pooey. Okay. God got him and God got me.
Amen.
And that's the only thing I'm worried about right now.
Amen.
He got me.
There you go. He came for you.
He
was here for you today.
He is so easy. And I haven't been able to do that in 6, 7, 8 months.
He was here for you today.
Okay. Thank you, sweet Jesus, that I decided to walk down this side of the street today.
Amen.
Because I don't even come down here.
Walking and dancing with you everywhere you go. He loves to be with
you. Yes, Lord, I'll be dancing
with him. There you go.
Right.
He loves.
We're going to boogie.
He loves to dance.
You know, I mean, thank you. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. And sweet Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, sweet. I feel lighter. I swear. I said, people, this stuff is really true. If it wasn't like a non-believer, it was me.
Awesome.
And you asked the Holy Spirit to give you a fresh encounter.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, wow. I don't dislike men like I used to, man. I think maybe I can like a man. But I ain't worried about that. That'll come time.
There you go.
Right now, that's my man.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
I want to be with him right now.
Praise God.
God bless y'all. Thank y'all. Y'all know what y'all have done for me.
Thank you.
Wow. That's the real stuff. That lady, Kim, had an appointment she wasn't ready for, but I think she's happy she had it. I tell you. It's tough to speak after you see something like that. I didn't read these announcements. I'm not really sure what they all are. We have a visitor here today from El Shaddai. You'll talk about that? So that's not an announcement for me. Okay, thanks. And Justin is here. Yeah, Justin. And Nicola, of course. Welcome, welcome. Great to have you. All right, so I think we're going to, because of the hour, I think we're going to pass the meet and greet, and we'll do that. We'll do that afterwards. We got some announcements that we have to do, and let's get that done. And first, I guess we should take our time of receiving our offering. So, do we have a scripture? We do. So you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. We certainly have seen recently and heard expressions of overflowing from what we have in our abundance, and that's the ability to pray and the ability to come before God and to invite His Spirit to bring about miracles. But this giving is all a part of that also. It's a part of who we are and what we do. And so, Lord, we present to you now our tithes and our offerings, and we do so with an attitude of gratitude. We present these to you, Lord, knowing that we can never, ever, ever outgive you, for you will always be the sustenance for our lives. Lord, we turn this offering and we bless this offering now, and we give it to you with a joyful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our ushers can come around now, and while we're doing that, we'd like to announce our women's breakfast, which happens on the second Saturday of every month, which will be next Saturday, 9 to 11. If you have any questions about it, contact Melissa Christensen. She's standing in the last row. Any announcements or anything? Or right. And if you haven't caught parts 1, 2, 3, 4, you can certainly get part 5, and you know, we won't miss anything. All right. Next. Did you want to say something about Jeff, Fred? Fred will. All right. So we'll talk about that in a bit. But we do have Jeff is going to be with us on the 11th and the 18th, and the 2 weeks in between, or the week between and the week after, he'll be with us. And we're expecting much. So be praying about that. Some of you are gregarious by nature, very outgoing by nature. And so giving testimony and witness and embracing people and loving people and winning them into the kingdom comes naturally to you. And some of the people who were standing up here know who I'm talking about. But some of us are more like me, who tend to be a little bit more timid. So for us, we need to be challenged. We need to be exhorted. We need a swift kick once in a while. And that's what Jeff is going to do. I met him a couple of weeks ago, and it was just a great time. This is a man who is truly an evangelist, okay? Because the role of the evangelist is to equip, right? That's the job of the evangelist. I mean, he can win souls. He can bring people to Christ. He can love on them. But he can also teach us to do that. And so we're really looking forward to the opportunity for that. We have a couple other announcements. Susie and Paul, would you come up? And whoever gets here first will share last. I mean, it's scriptural, isn't it? The first shall be last. Come on, Susie. I didn't plan it that way. It just happened.
Thank you, Paul. There's some flyers out on the table about our Supernatural Life Conference. As many of you know, I've been working with Georgian and Winnie Banoff for over 16 years. And for the past 9 years, we've been holding an amazing conference at the end of every September called Supernatural Life. This year, it's from September 28th to October 2nd. We're going to have people like Patricia King and Heidi Baker. I mean, how can you not go with two of those people at the same conference? Also, Lance Wallnau. Of course, Georgian and Winnie will be speaking, and the pastors Charles and Ann Stock from the Life Center Church, where it will be held. We are going to have a lot of the Bethel music, like Hunter Thompson. Do you know Hunter? Do you know Callie's, how to pronounce her last name? Yeah, she'll be there. United Pursuit is going to be there. House Fires is going to be there. And the Life Center Band, and Fred Cleveland is a local D.C. Worship leader. He's amazing. We'll have Tony Brazelton as a speaker. And there's a gentleman named Nick Hall. Do you know who Nick Hall is? He wrote the book Reset, and he is in charge of one of the largest student-led prayer and outreaches. So he's into the very strong youth ministry. So I just really wanted to let you know that they're out there. Look at it. You can go to globalcelebration.com to find more information and to register for it. It's only about an hour and a half away from here, so it's so close, and it is so amazing. So please come. Thanks.
Thank you. Paul. Or Fred.
Thank you. Stand over here. 7 years ago, my wife and I kind of stepped out on the water a little bit and shipped our son, Justin, to Redding, California. And we found out later that not only did it totally rock his world and consequently rocked our church, any of you that were here at that time know that that's true, but it actually saved his soul in a certain way. You know, one of the reasons I taught high school apologetics in the high school class for years was I saw the stats, I saw what was happening with Christian kids who went away to university. And Justin confessed to us that Christmas that had we sent him to university that year instead of to Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, that it was in his heart to be one of those statistics. And but God radically changed his life 2.5 weeks into being there. He was ready to leave, and it was right at that moment that God powerfully changed him and made our parenting a whole lot easier. And then my daughter rocked her world, and she and Allie, who you saw up here last week if you were here, two 21-year-old empowered women just drove across the United States. I don't think I would have ever done that when I was 21, but that's pretty cool. And they're there, and they're excited. And I just want to say one thing, that when I was there for her second-year graduation last year, that I heard Bill Johnson say that I really appreciated him saying. He introduced the families at the graduation, and he made this comment. He said, the reason this works, talking about the school there, is because of these parents and the churches behind them. Because it's not a cheap deal, you know, what they're doing there. It's amazing. But to hear him say that, I was very encouraged. And so it's a lot easier for me to get up here and be a fundraiser when it's not my daughter, because she's now in the third year, which is a lot less expensive. But I felt like I needed to do something because I've been so blessed by what's happened to my two youngest kids. And so I came up with this idea, a match grant. So far, I've found a group of people that, and it may get bigger, but $1,100 would be matched dollar for dollar for anybody that supports what's going to happen. There's going to be a bake sale in the back. Lily is still here. She and her family leave for first year this Friday. And pray that the Lord rocks the DeDorian family just in that weekend. And Lily's going to be doing a bake sale. And we're doing this fundraiser for Allie and Lily for their finishing up their tuition and their mission trip, which they will do in March. And so, again, every dollar you give up to $1,100 is going to be matched dollar for dollar, and it may be more. And we're going to keep them there and make sure that God brings that culture even more back to us. So if you don't want any baked goods, just if you write out a check, put Bethel/match. That's what that will go, and that'll go to the two of them. Okay, so thank you for hearing us.
Thank you, Paul. So that was a lead-in for another Lorman, maybe Justin. You gonna come up and share a word or two? Yeah, come on, let's give it up for Justin.
Like Count Dracula or something. okay. No. Well, I guess I'm up here alone, even though I'm married. oh. I feel like I'm supposed to... I don't know. I feel like I'm about to deliver a sermon that's very powerful or something. Well, yeah, we love coming back here and visiting. We're based in Cleveland right now, working with the school of ministry that's there, as well as the local church. We've been there for 2 years now. Well, I've been there for 2 years. You've been there for about three almost. Mm-hmm. I guess the update since last time we were here, which I think has been a while now since Christmas or even before, is that we got married in April. And so, loving that, finally doing long distance for a year and a half from California to Maryland was not easy, and so we decided to end that and just get married. So we're loving getting plugged into the local church there. It's definitely it's kind of interesting. It's like in the early stages of where Bethel Reading was. The school has been running now for about maybe 15 years, maybe a little bit longer. And when they first started out, it was very small, small church body, small school, but with a big vision. And so that's something similar in Cleveland, where that school's been going for 4 or 5 years now, and slowly growing. And they're bringing in some big names from Reading, some ministry help, and some strategians, or whatever the word is, strategists, yes, with good strategium. Just going to go with it. And you know what I mean. And so it's seen increase there as well. And so they're coming to us and asking for, since we have the culture of Reading pretty well in both of us for being there for 3 years, just pulling on us a little bit more. So that's exciting, getting plugged into that church and that school and being on leadership team in the School of Ministry. So hoping that the Holy Spirit is something big there and that something even closer, maybe a less expensive option for other people wanting to go and be a part of something the Lord's doing as far as a school of supernatural ministry. But we're loving being there, and the Lord saw fit to bless us also with our first baby. So we're pregnant, and save that till the end. Yeah, that's a child. So we're very excited about that. Glad to be back and seeing all of your beautiful faces. A lot of new faces, but still beautiful. I just love seeing what the Lord's doing. Every time we come back, every time we come back, we land on a Sunday after Lexington Outreach. And so it's always powerful. And I always, man, they're still going out to Lexington, and I'd see the progress and the way the Holy Spirit's still moving, and see all the new faces as well. Is loving seeing that, what the Lord's doing. So we love being back here, and we feel very blessed just the way, every time we come back, how loved we feel, and how people always, you know, come up and hug us. And so, so we're very excited. Don't post anything on Facebook yet. We haven't done that. So you're in the family loop currently about our pregnancy. But there's no public loop, so let's keep it private. There's some important people we want to tell before it goes public. But we're having a great time. We're loving being married. Very excited for our first baby in March is the due date. Pastor Fred. Mazel tov, yeah. Don't hit send, yeah.
Always great having you back. All three of you. This is not being recorded, is it?
No.
It's time to dismiss our youth and our youth. So why don't you all stand up and we'll offer a blessing over you. Just kind of reach out your hands towards them. Or Father, we love you. And we love our children. We love those whom you've given to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would come and work mightily in each of their lives, that this time, these Sunday sessions, be opportunities to bring growth, bring life, bring teaching to them, and bring them to a place, Lord, so that way they can go out and minister, Lord, to the world also. They are us, and they're beginning to take the baton from us, those who are in our later years or our senior years, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to be with them, Lord, be with the teachers and those who will be sharing with them this day. Nourish them by your word and strengthen them, Lord, in your life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, without further ado, we'll bring Pastor Fred up here, and he can take things over from here.
Okay, why don't you turn to your neighbor and just say, hey, good morning to you.
time, you could just make sure that he's here at 11, at 11 o'clock or noon, whenever you finish.
Well, that's amazing. Usually we can't get you to shut up. You did good this morning. Good morning, everybody. Well, you know, most of you aren't Jewish, but most of you do know that Jewish holidays are coming up. Come on. And, you know, one of the ways to get ready for Jewish holidays is to share a Jewish joke.
No way.
Come on. Yeah, great preparations. Here we go. All right, here we go. 1936, Morris Rabinowitz. He's a dentist, and he fled his native Germany. He sold his assets and made 5 sets of solid gold teeth with his cash. Well above the limit he could bring into the U.S., when he arrived in New York, the customs official was perplexed as to why anybody would have 5 sets of gold teeth. So Morris explained, Jews who keep kosher have 2 separate dishes for meat products and for dairy products. But I am so religious, I also have separate sets of teeth. The customs official shook his head and said, well, that accounts for 2 sets of teeth. What about the other 3? Morris replied, very religious Jews use separate dishes for Rosh Hashanah. And I am so Orthodox that I have separate teeth for Rosh Hashanah meat and Rosh Hashanah dairy food. The customs official shook his head and said, you must be a man of very strong faith to have separate teeth for meat and dairy products and likewise for Rosh Hashanah. That accounts for 4 sets of teeth. What about the 5th set? Morris looked around and whispered, to tell you the truth, once in a while, I like a ham sandwich. I could relate to that. You know, my mother, bless the memory, I would remind her that, you know, do you remember, Mom, when we had ham on Passover back when we lived on Stevenson Road? She goes, we never had ham. I said, Mom, yes, we did. We had ham on Passover. You don't remember? We never had. I'm telling you, we did. We did. She does. I'm going to remind her when I get to see her in heaven. Okay. All right. We got the PowerPoint. Can we, I'm in control now. There we go. All right, last Sunday, Randy announced our September surprise, and it's really what we've been talking about for the past several weeks, becoming as you see on the screen, becoming a kingdom of priests in a prodigal world. Why? Let's read it together. That the fatherless may come back to the Father, and the homeless back home, as we love the unloved, touch the untouched, and reach the unreached. So our plan is to dedicate the better part of September to do just that, for training and equipping. Bob announced Jeff Bernstein coming, and Jeff Bernstein is he's a unique guy. He's Jewish, and it makes him a little bit quirky, like me. And he's a great guy. He's got this amazing gift. I mean, he's a natural. He goes out there, and just stuff happens. But what's even better, as Bob pointed out, he's an equipper. And he's going to model it for us. He's going to equip us. And those of us who want to go out can go out and do the stuff. So that'll be for 2 weeks. Not just he'll be speaking on Sundays, but he'll be here every day for those 2 weeks. This morning, we also have a special guest, Gabe Nalton and his wife are with us. Gabe's back right now with the young adults. And he's from the El Shaddai congregation. How many of you ever hear of El Shaddai? A few of us. It's in Frederick, Maryland. It's a Messianic congregation. And he's a member there. And Jeff Bernstein went to El Shaddai congregation just last July. And they're not the same as a result. So Gabe is here this morning. He's sharing with the young adults just some testimony of what God is doing there. And he's going to be back in here, and he's going to conclude my message with testimony of what God's doing, what God has done and still doing at El Shaddai, with the hope that what he will share will envision us and raise our expectations for what God could possibly do here with us. So I'm excited about that. So I want to take a few minutes to share about our priestly calling, being a kingdom of priests in a prodigal world. We've been talking about that, and particularly about what we've been chosen to do. So, Peter, how many of you know the Apostle Peter? Yeah, he has a couple of letters in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly ministry, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to declare the wonderful things of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So who's been chosen? We all have been chosen. Back in the Old Testament, it was only a few that were chosen. Now, because Jesus is our high priest, he has made us to be a kingdom of priests. Jesus priest. Not Jesus freaks. Jesus priest. Come on. I was one of those. So, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that priests have two primary responsibilities. The first responsibility of an Old Testament priest was to mediate the presence of God. You may remember me speaking about that. Old Testament priests would mediate the presence of God so that God's people could enter into the promises of God. So as New Testament priests, we do the same thing. We mediate the presence of God. Paul, I love what Paul says. Paul says, with unveiled faces, reflecting or beholding the what? The glory of the Lord, we are changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. He was reflecting on Moses. Remember Moses, he went up on the mountain and he spent 40 days on the mountain. He was 40 days in whose presence? 40 days in the presence of God, and he came down from the mountain and he was what? He was shiny. He was shiny. He had what I call a suntan. That's right, an S-O-N-tan. He had a suntan. He spent 40 days bathing in the presence of God, and he was changed from one degree of glory to another, so much so that when he came down the mountain, he was reflecting the glory of God. Now, I have a confession. It's a bit embarrassing, but when I was in high school, I used to behold a sun lamp. I would take about 10 minutes a day, and I would bathe in those ultraviolet rays so I could get a suntan. That's why I have no hair. Thank you, Bob. What's your excuse?
Genetics.
Well, Paul gives us a better way. He says it's better to behold the Son of God to be changed into his likeness. He says we with unveiled faces, in other words, we have no sunscreen. Okay, we can spend time in his presence. Just think about it, 10 minutes a day, just 10 minutes a day. That's what I did with the sun lamp. Imagine spending 10 minutes a day bathing in the rays of the Holy Spirit. What will it do? It will change us into his likeness from one degree of glory to another so that we may reflect his glory. You know, we close each Sunday with the Aaronic blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he frown his face upon you and be angry at you. Wait a minute, I didn't get that right. No, right. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. See, we want to come here on Sunday mornings and we want to bathe in his presence. We want the sun to shine upon us so that we can go out from here reflecting the glory of God. It's fun to be a New Testament priest. Amen? Mediating, reflecting the presence of God. Well, New Testament priest, we mediate the presence of God, but there's one more thing we do. We make known the message of God so that people, the prodigals, could enter the kingdom of God. Now, that's what Peter's saying. He says, you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly ministry, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do what? Read it with me. To declare the wonderful things of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Everybody say gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, the word gospel is from the old English word. Who knows what it is? I heard somebody say it. Godspell. How many of you saw Godspell way back? Right. Godspell means good news. It means good news. Now, in case there's any question whether this is good news, read with me. Mark 1, verse 15. The time has come, he said. Well, I'll read it to you, tell you it's okay. But thank you. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the, now you can say it, good news. All right. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. But he said, I must proclaim of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way in. I like that. So here's my question. Why do so many people think of the good news as bad news? I mean, have you met people that they don't think, they, you know, they don't really think what you're doing is good news? They think it's bad news. Why is that? Why do you think some people think this message of good news is bad news? What's that? Because they have to change? Good. Because of sin? Yeah, good. Yeah. What's that? Spiritual warfare? Good. They don't know better? Good. Maybe it's us. You might be wrong. The church abuses the good news? Okay, okay. Haven't encountered God's love? All good answers? Turn and burn? Yeah, okay. Well, all those are correct. I would sum it up this way, because many people don't understand the difference between the kingdom and religion. Jesus came preaching the kingdom, not religion. What was Jesus' problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They turned the message of the kingdom into a system of rituals, rules, and regulations. And in essence, created a system that kept good people in and kept the bad people out. And sadly to say, things haven't changed a whole lot. I was down at the ball game last Friday night. Was that the Oriole game? Rob and Donna were there. And two nights ago? Yeah. You were there? Where were you hiding? On the flight deck, yes. Yeah, we were way up there too, and they're kind of like in the lower heavens. Yeah. Well, anyhow, we're standing outside waiting for some other people to meet with us outside the gate. I forgot which entrance it is, but anyhow, on the corner were two guys preaching the gospel. But in my humble opinion, it wasn't the good news. And it was really loud. And they had really big signs. Signs that said things like, the Pope is the Antichrist. Flee from the wrath to come. Repent. Here's a glimpse of what it looked like.
Should boast. Salvation is of the Lord. And we don't need the Roman Catholic definition of grace, where God gives you the help that you need in order to respond on your own. We've got news for you. That's not grace. That is works. We're not preaching a works salvation. Rather, we are preaching the grace of God found in the one true biblical gospel. There's only one gospel.
That was the most positive part of his message. it got a whole lot worse than that. So what is supposed to be good news sometimes unfortunately comes across as bad news. Instead of the kingdom, people out there are hearing about a religion that's somewhere between, it's a cross between irrelevancy and hypocrisy. And, you know, I have to say, when I was out there, I was so tempted to go up to the guy and say, listen, please, 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 there's a better way to do this. So I want to encourage you and comfort you all. Over the next few weeks when we go out, we're not going to be doing that, okay? We're not going to be doing that. So what is the good news of the kingdom? Well, it's first and foremost about a relationship with a king who is the way, the truth, and the life. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus the Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So it's good news. It's good news about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, he's more than a wish. He's the way. He's more than a teaching. He's the truth. He's more than just a light. He is the life. He's more than just, it's more than just a message. It's about a man, a glorious man, Christ Jesus. This whole thing is more than just giving people a philosophy or giving people principles. It's about a person. It's more than just a religion. We're offering people a relationship. More than just going to a religious service. Ooh. We're offering people a life-giving source. So it's good news not only about a king, Christ Jesus, but about a kingdom. It's not only about a man, but it's about a movement. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is a global movement to bring the will of God on earth as it is in heaven, to bring the plan of God on earth as it is in heaven, to bring the purpose of God on earth as it is in heaven, to bring the love of God on earth as it is in heaven, to bring the life of God on earth as it is in heaven. It's the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And the good news of the kingdom is bigger than any other ism. Come on. The kingdom is bigger than Catholicism. The kingdom is bigger than Protestantism. The kingdom is bigger than evangelicalism. The kingdom is bigger than Pentecostalism. The kingdom is even bigger than Messianic Judaism. Come on, can you believe I said that? The kingdom is bigger than nationalism. The kingdom is bigger than socialism. The kingdom is bigger than capitalism. The kingdom is bigger than progressivism. And if you can believe it, the kingdom is even bigger than republicanism. The kingdom is not just an ism. It's a kingdom that has come to change the world and us along with it. So I want to conclude, because I want to have, hopefully they'll release Gabe to come back here in the next couple of minutes, but I want to conclude with a video clip from a movie, maybe you saw it, called Son of God. And it's a clip that I just feel like sums up this whole thing that we're about and what we've been chosen and called to do.
What do you think you're doing?
We're going fishing.
There are no fish out there this time of day. In fact, there are no fish out here any time of day.
Peter. Just give me an hour. And I will give you a whole new life.
Who says I want one? I'm telling you. There's no fish out there.
How did this happen? What did you do?
I'm giving you the chance to change your life. Peter, come with me. Give up catching fish and I will make you a fisher of men.
What are we gonna do?
Change the world.
So what are we going to do? Who's going to do it? Yeah. Oh, man. Well, Lord, we just thank you this morning. And Lord, we thank you that for the good news. And Lord, we thank you that you've chosen us to be instruments, messengers of this amazing message. To be part of a movement that you started to change the world. So, Holy Spirit, we're just asking in these days that you would so stir our hearts that we could believe that we can make a difference, to make the world different. Lord, thank you that each one of us have been saved and called with a holy calling. Each one of us chosen by you to be part of your kingdom of priests in a prodigal world, to love the unloved, touch the untouched, to reach the unreached. So as we're waiting for Gabe to come, let's just wait on the Lord for a moment and ask Holy Spirit if there's anything else that he would want to say to us this morning. And if you get something, have something, share it with us. Or if there's something you just want to pray out, we can say amen to. That would be good too. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Oh, man. Gabe is with us, as I mentioned earlier. Gabe's with El Shaddai Congregation. He's with his wife. And is your daughter back?
She's
back there. Okay. And Rain and I met with Todd, who's Gabe's pastor of El Shaddai Congregation, just last week. And we had a great time together. And Todd, I guess, asked you if you... And so we're just blessed to have you with us and to share with us what God's doing in El Shaddai.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning, guys. Well, greetings from El Shaddai. We're a Messianic Jewish congregation in Frederick. Some of you may know, others may not. JB, actually, who's going to be coming? And look out. I'll just say that. Anybody know JB? You'll be pleasantly surprised. He's actually in Philadelphia right now. He's in a congregation there for the next 2 weeks. He's been another week there, and then he's coming to you guys right after. So he was at El Shaddai before. He was down in Sarasota, Florida. He's been in a couple other congregations. And his heart is to really, as a fivefold ministry, as a gift of evangelism, is to impart and to equip us, the congregations, for the work of evangelism. That's what the scripture reveals. And so who is evangelism for? Evangelism is for us all. It's not for the professionals. It's all of us. Jesus, and I'm going to read from the Great Commission here in Matthew 28 in just a moment. But we go on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 also talks as so we are to be those are the ambassadors, those are the ministry of reconciliation. It's for all of us. This is the heart of the Father. This is who we are. I was just sharing with the youth group, and I'm just amazed at this generation, the opportunity that they have. It is absolutely amazing by the Spirit to just see that God is putting new wineskins. He's forming new wineskins. And there's a difficulty that comes with that. This generation will have some challenges that maybe we hadn't necessarily experienced, or it's been a while. And so I was just excited to have the opportunity to share with them. I wanted to read from Matthew chapter 28, just as setting up, and I want to share with you guys some of what God has done after JB's coming in El Shaddai and Frederick. But Jesus says here at the end, he says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, and we know where the 12th one was. He said he went to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. I'm so grateful they went. They obeyed. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. I always thought that line caught me. So they saw him resurrected. He's standing before them, giving them a great commission. And some worshiped and some still doubted. Now we all know that they all gave their lives for the gospel. So it wasn't a condemnation point. God's just pointing out that this is tough work that we're called to. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he says, go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or to obey all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. There's so much. We hear that passage so much, and it's easy just to, we probably have it memorized. But I think what stands out there is that Jesus didn't tell them to know, to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to know about me. He didn't say that. I think for me and most of my Christian life, that's kind of how I interpreted that. He didn't say go and tell them to know about me, fill up a bunch of knowledge about me. He said teach them to observe, to obey what I've commanded. This is what he told the apostles. So here's the experience that I've had in El Shaddai. When JB came, he challenged us all in love. The foundation of the work of God and the work of the kingdom is love. God is love. Thank you so much. I was listening to some of the message over the last couple of weeks that we are priests. That is exactly right. Wherever we are, wherever our feet are, the good news goes forth. Wherever our feet are, the presence of God, the Spirit of God lives in us. We are the holy temple. Wherever we go, His Spirit goes with us and things happen. But here's the key word I believe the Holy Spirit wanted me to encourage you guys this morning. And this is where we've seen the difference. Jesus told them, he didn't tell them to teach them to know about me. He said, teach them to observe, to obey what I have said. That really is the heart of God. That is where everything hinge pins and everything changes. See, we can't just believe about God, have truth affirmations, all agree on the gospel, that what is true. That's not good enough for God and the kingdom. And God is doing new work in the house. And we're no longer going to be content with just feeling good necessarily. That was my experience of I know all these things. I got a head full of knowledge. I know theology. I know all of these things. But the experience of the presence of God and the reality of God was something that I hadn't experienced for many years. So God is by His grace at this time in this community, in this congregation, and you guys should be excited right now. Your spirit should be stirring. You should be so excited. God is going to send an evangelist, I believe, that is full of the Holy Spirit, that's going to encourage you. That if there's any luxury liner in this house, that it's going to become a fishing boat. Now, I don't know if that's the case, but I can tell you, at least for my own life, I wanted the cruise ship experience of faith. But Jesus didn't create such a thing. There's peace and there's blessing in the kingdom, no question whatsoever. But He called us to be fishers of men. And when we take that charge to obey God and we ask Him, Lord, what do you want us to do? Where are you going? I want to be with Him. I'm sure most of you, we want to be with Him wherever He's going. We don't want to sit back and do our thing and go, hey, where are you going, Lord? No, we want to be with Him. And so I believe this is a season for the church that God is helping us to come alongside His agenda and His desires. So what we've seen is JB came in, he spoke. We saw the entire congregation come forward in repentance. Just saying. So there's a special anointing on JB's life right now, what he wants to impart. And that is that we capture the heart of God, or rather, God captures our hearts to what matters most to him, and that is the lost. And it's not getting any more light out there. We are that light. And we have our idea what that means, but God has the full picture of what that looks like and what that means. He wants us to see through his eyes. And I believe that's what God wants to do. So at El Shaddai over the last, JB came in July, and every night, Monday through Thursday, the congregation has gone out into the streets of Frederick, Market Street, Carroll Creek, Baker Park, different areas. And what's amazing is that we've had a pretty good turnout. And we found also that over time, the excitement or whatever kind of wanes, but there's a core group of folks and an ongoing encouragement to the body to say, you know what, I don't have to be an evangelist. I'm a believer, you know. And in a dark place, it doesn't take much light to change darkness, because as soon as there's a spot of light, darkness is no longer darkness. Where there's a shadow, there's got to be a light. And so what we have to realize is that every one of you are a light. We collectively are the light of the world. And so what we've seen as we've gone out into the streets is that we just have everyday folks just like us, just going out. No one's professional. Here's where we're finding, though, what's amazing. Everybody this morning that stood up here had a story. God used everybody. You notice that? There wasn't one person that stood up here that didn't have a story to share, starting with Fred on down. Everyone had a story, and everyone has unique gifts that have been given to this body to serve and to equip. And those gifts were on display, but they weren't as noticeable at times here in our normal meeting situation as they are when we're out and obeying. Then we see the gifts of God. We see the prophetic working through. We see words of knowledge and words of wisdom, and we start to see that, wait a minute, God put somebody on my heart, put something on my heart, and he spoke it to me, and then it came to pass. My goodness. So I want to share a couple of just quick testimonies and stories. Have you guys ever heard of treasure hunting evangelism? Who's heard that term? Okay, so I don't know if that's something the Lord will lead you in. We've seen some of opportunities. One in particular was so sweet. There's a couple, but we had gone out, and Brandon, a good friend of ours, he led the meeting. And a treasure hunt, for those that don't know, is we just wait on the Lord. We pray. We ask the Lord who he sees, who's on his heart. And then we just go out, and God will sometimes give us a word. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. He may even impart a picture. One of the young ladies saw orange shoes, and sure enough, that's not very common, but we saw this guy with bright orange shoes, and the story goes, was ministered to. He did not receive salvation, but he was ministered to. His faith was fallen, and he was ministered to, and faith was restored. But on this particular evening, right before we finished the night, Brandon was looking. The Lord put on his heart an Asian man in a doorway with an iPhone. That's very specific. It's very much like the heart of the Father. And he heard the words beer and wine. So he put that on the sheet of paper, wrote it out, amongst other things the Lord had shown him earlier in the evening. And as they were coming back to the church building, as we were wrapping up, we come back, we go out for 3 hours every night. We go out for 2 hours, come back, and then we share before and after. We pray before, we go out, we come back and share, and what God has done. And that goes on all the time. It's a lifestyle change. It's new wine. It's a lifestyle change. And so Brandon's coming back, and he sees a guy in a doorway and can't quite make out who he is. His back is to him, but he notices that he had reached in his hand and had a phone. And so he's like, so he starts running, which I just love that heart. That's just like the Lord. He starts running to the guy. There's traffic going, so he's trying to dodge traffic. He runs across, and he yells at him, "Hey!" And the guy turns around, and he notices he's ethnic, but the girl he was with thought he was maybe Spanish. But nevertheless, he's like, "This is too close here. I'm going to go follow up with him." Anyway, he goes, "Is that an iPhone or a Samsung?" And the guy goes, "iPhone all the way, baby." You know, so he's like, "All right, I got a guy in the door with an iPhone." So he asked him, "Where are you from?" And the guy goes, "Frederick." He goes, no, "Where are you from? He's looking at him. He goes, "Where's your mom and dad from?" He goes, "Chicago," or wherever they were. He goes, "Okay." He goes, "Where are you from, man? Where are your people from?" And the guy said, "We're from Thailand." So now he sees this Asian guy in a doorway with an iPhone. And he pulled out, and he said, "What are you doing here?" And he goes, "Well, I'm on break. I work at the beer and wine store." So nevertheless, he goes up to the young man, and he said, we were praying for you tonight. We're on a treasure hunt, and brother, you are that treasure. God sees you. He saw you, and he laid on our hearts because we hear him. We see, we listen, we follow him. We are his children. He wants you to know that he loves you tonight. Now, this guy's faith had been radically shipwrecked. He was in the church. Some things happened. It was really bad for him, and he had walked away from the Lord. But on that night, God saw him in response to us who are available. He said, the harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. He says, pray that you would send laborers into the harvest. And this is what the Holy Spirit's doing. So that very day, this man's faith was restored. He couldn't believe that God, one, would speak to another person that specifically about him and invite him back to faith. And so we've seen these things every single time we go out. No one's, we're just regular everyday people. We have hold down regular jobs just like the rest of us. But there's something that I wanted to encourage you this morning is that when we take God at his word, when we ask him to give us his heart, when we're willing to count the cost of discipleship, what it really means, when, as the scripture says, go into all the world, teaching them to obey what I've commanded, we start to see the power and the presence of God. And it's not before then. We cannot sit back in comfortability and disobedience and expect the blessings of God. He doesn't work that way. He loves us. We're in a marriage, guys. The question God poses is, what kind of marriage do you want? Or more importantly, what kind of marriage does he want? That's what's before us. So I want to impart to you that JB's coming. God is probably going to shake you guys up in your faith a little bit, and that's a good thing. And you don't have to be fearful, and you don't have to be scared, and you don't have to believe those old lies from the old wineskin that says, well, that's not me, I'm not an evangelist, or some people are more equipped. But I will leave you with this. Not all of you may be physically able to do the same things, but I can promise you this. There are intercessors in this house. There are those that have been given a gift of prayer and call to pray. And so we have seen intercessors rise up to meet the help of those that are out in El Shaddai. And we want to encourage you to. Some of you may not physically be able to, and that's understandable. God's not putting any condemnation on us. He's just challenging us. It's called conviction. And pray if you can't go out. Or don't make excuses not to go out. We have people that are on. We have people that are disabled that are going out. We have people that have disease that are going out. And God's actually doing work in their life. That's what we find. When we're about his business, he takes care of his business in his house. So I just want to encourage you this morning to be anticipating and preparing. This is the month of Elul in the Hebrew calendar. This is a month to prepare for the fall feasts, which represent the presence of God with us and much more. The Day of Atonement. This is a season of repentance for the Jewish calendar. And this is a month leading up to that time. God would say to you, prepare your hearts. This season couldn't be any more perfect for JB to come and for this message to be brought forth. That there is a repentance in the house. It's not a repentance, a gloomy doom repentance. It's a repentance of turning to God, turning from those things that we're looking at to turn and see his face more clearly. That's a joyful thing, guys. That's not a morbid thing. That is the repentance of Scripture, getting to see him once again, high and lifted up, and turning our hearts to join him and to go where he tells us to go. So I could go on and on and on with stories, and they would encourage your faith. But just hear, more importantly, the love of God for this congregation, that he would come and visit you and share his heart, that he has not passed you by. There's much fruit planted here and much fruit growing here, and God just wants to increase it. I'm so excited for you guys. We'll be praying for you. We're there. We're a couple months ahead, but God is doing this work throughout the area in different churches in Montgomery County as well. So this is sweet. This is a sweet time we're living in. So thank you for the opportunity to share what I've shared. I hope you find it encouraging, and I look forward to what God's going to do.
Well, thank you, Gabe. That was so encouraging, man. My head is filled with all kinds of thoughts, and some maybe I should share and some maybe I shouldn't. So anyway, this Wednesday night at our regular dwelling place, we're going to be dedicating that time or segregating that time to be praying for this event, events, whatever we want to call this next period of time, you can call him JB, but he's still Jeff Bernstein to me, okay? But maybe after we have him for a while, he'll be my JB also. I think of JB, I think of football names and all kinds of other things. Anyway, one of the things that just crossed my mind, and it's probably for me, but there might be a few others. I'm one of those timid ones, like I said earlier when I was doing the announcement, and some of you are going to be really tempted to not show up next Sunday or the following Sunday because you heard the word, the whole congregation got up and repented. And there's going to be some of that old man that was mentioned earlier also. So I would just encourage you to be praying this week and getting ready for this next season. The other thing that crossed my mind is that with the Jewish feasts coming up, we're going to start the new Jewish year. And that year is, Karen, tell me. Yeah, what is the Jewish year? There we go, right? 5777. Now it's got three sevens in there, and seven is completion or fulfillment and all of those kinds of things. And so I was reflecting on that this morning. I was thinking, this is good. This is good. So we're a house here of worship. We're a house of ministry. And there's another aspect of the kingdom that we're going to have a great opportunity to grasp onto or we will be grasped onto by the Lord. So let's please stand as we dismiss for today. We've got plenty of things to be thinking and praying about over this next week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may he let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance and ours upon you. And may he grant you his shalom, his peace. Amen. Go in the grace of God.